As a kid, I always wanted to be Bruce Lee. I wanted to enter the dragon. I wanted to be a star. I wanted to be noticed. But had I noticed, I would have realised that Bruce Lee was more introvert than extrovert. It would have been a crucial observation because as I ran through the swings, karate kicking my friends in the balls and headbutting polystyrene walls, I was of the opinion that if you were an introvert, you might as well jump over Niagara Falls. When I was a drinker, had you cut me open with a rusty pocket knife, then the letters E-X-T-R-O-V-E-R and T would have fallen into the fruit bowl alongside the pineapples, oranges and lychee. And then I stopped drinking. And as time stilled and the waffles leapt from the toaster and rich tea biscuits fell apart over my coaster, I began to wonder if the story I had created since the beginning of cool as fuck teenage time was really true. Was I an extrovert? I didn't feel like one. And I think this search for who we are is an important one because it allows us to stick a stiletto in the sand and say no more. I love this person and this one and this one and this one and particularly this one. And I vow to communicate with them in a way that doesn't lead to me wanting to deliver the Bruce Lee one-inch death punch. Kapow! It's not easy, though, discovering who we are. But at Strive, we can help. And that's what we talk about in today's podcast. When yours truly and Striver Klaus, all the way from Sweden, talk about our intention of introducing color code personality science into our Truth About Alcohol philosophy. I hope you enjoy it. And if you've got any questions, then just email me at thetruthaboutalcohol@gmail.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Wait, I've just pressed record. Okay, yeah.
Right. So, the first section is just the overview, and that's where we talk about the personality and the character and how what we focus on in the color code is basically personality needs and want and core motive, which is the deeper layers of who you are. It's basically, if you think of this old metaphor with the iceberg, where you have like the tip of the earth iceberg on the surface, and then this lump of ice under the surface. This is all the bottom layers. This is like the core of who you are. And then you have the values, behaviors, the habits in your lifestyle. And most other assessments, they measure the behaviors and the values, which is pretty much near the surface of who you actually are. So we have the four colors, the reds, the power, blues, intimacy, whites, peace, and yellows, the core motive is fun. This is all stuff that you can go in and you can read about in your profile. It's like 12 or 14 pages in there if you download it.
Yeah.
So we talked about already, you're a red, you got the core motive of power, and this is to be understood. This is not that red people are crazy about power and they want to have power over other people. It's more that you want to have the power to move from A to B in a straight line or as straight as possible. That's all it is. And actually in Portuguese and Spanish, poder is to be able to. If I remember it right. So that's pretty neat. So your yellow part is all about having fun in the process.
So for people listening, I was 51.89% red and 33.24%
yellow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is you're pretty straight up in your colors. It's like you're pretty much red, yellow, and a little bit of blue, a little bit of white, but that's
any white.
You know, so what we're looking at here, where we really can do the work, is when we look at the strengths and the limitations. And you got all this in your material that you got after doing the assessment.
Yeah, I read through most of it. Yeah.
Yeah, so what we have here, basically, where I want to spend some time is the character path, because that is where we can do most good for ourselves and others. Basically, we have the character traits, which are traits that we have developed outside our core color. So in your case, it's the forgiving, the creative thinker, charismatic, enthusiastic, sociable, happy, persuasive, well-mannered, loyal, dependable. And then you have the healthy traits, which are the healthy traits of a red. This is, now we're talking about the red color, your core color, your primary color, which is motivated, proactive, action-oriented, determined, and the leader. Then you have the unhealthy traits of a red, according to the assessment, which is always right, arrogant, relentless, bossy, critical of others, demanding, argumentative, overly aggressive, and intimidating. And funny enough, you've been talking about some of these on the podcast and in the videos and in the taster.
Well, it's, at the beginning there where you said when I read power in connection with my red color, like it's called the power, the first thing that comes to my mind is, oh, wow, people are going to think that I'm like a power-hungry megalomaniac. And then you said right at the beginning there that it doesn't necessarily mean that. It means like that we need, you know, get from point A to point B at the most efficient path possible equals power. However, those bad weaknesses or those poor traits that you just mentioned definitely have swung me towards, in an argumentative environment, wanting to exert my power over other people.
Yeah.
Especially by trying to leverage my voice and my intellect as a hammer to batter people with. So
beautiful insight, man.
I do notice that, definitely. Especially.
And this is the thing. This is what's so important, that everybody needs to understand that there is no one color that is better than the other colors. That's why we choose colors. It's four colors, it's four neutral things. It's like, it's just what drives us. Then we can be healthy in our color. And don't get me wrong here, but a really healthy, strong red, being a dictator over a country, that country would be amazing to live in.
Right.
If that red is healthy, turn that red toxic, and it's going to be a total nightmare. It's the same person. It's the same color. You know?
Donald.
Huh?
Donald Trump. He's a
red,
right?
Well, I'm not getting into that. I have officially been stamped as a potential illegal immigrant in the United States, and I'm not allowed to set my foot in the country because they are not sure that I would leave because my bonds to Sweden are too weak.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, I applied for a visa to go for the Pacific Crest Trail, so I needed to stay for more than 3 months. I could do an ESTA.
Into the wild, huh?
Yeah. But apparently I have to go somewhere else right now.
Yeah, I'm just about to run into this, going off topic a little bit. Yeah, I'm about to.
Yeah. Cool, that's our yellows. I'm the opposite of you. I'm a primary yellow and a secondary red.
Right, right.
So it's a good match. So, and then we've been looking at the character traits, the healthy traits, the unhealthy traits. Then you got a section that's called the dysfunctional traits. And that's basically the negative traits that you have outside your core color. And this is actually good news, because this is the absolute easiest to get rid of, because it's actually not you. It's picked up because you needed them at the time. It's so easy to strip yourself of these, and that in your case is the self-centeredness, and that you interrupt, you're impulsive, emotionally intense, hard to please, judgmental. Funny enough, most of these are blue negative traits. So
I think that's interesting, because as you know, I just finished Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself by Joe Dispenza.
Yeah,
for the second time, so obviously I'm the information is sticking a little bit more. And I mentioned on the podcast or in Stride the other day how I'm beginning to believe Joe's understanding and belief that I need to create a new personality. And in the past, I've always thought that I needed to go back and find my old personality. And reading the color code personality test information that came with me, it was really good to have this understanding that there's a kernel within me of who I am. And I want to ask you some questions about that, the core driving motivator. But then around that, that is developed over many years, which, you know, we cover in the intensive, around our beliefs and our values and all that kind of stuff, is this need of mine to shed a lot of these beliefs, some of these values, some of these personality traits that are not serving me anymore. You know, and I wrote about it today, class, in the podcast that's going to go out on Christmas Day, about how I got woken up at 2 o'clock in the morning the other day with my daughter, 2-year-old daughter, and how I behaved with her in terms of my short-temperedness, my domineering personality over her, my everything that I don't want to be as a father. And then my wife comes up and shows complete, wonderful compassion, empathy, support, everything that child needed in that moment. That's what I want. That's what I want to embody in my new personality. And I think the key there is awareness, doing work like this, meditation, mindfulness. So I just wanted to throw that in there because, you know, I stopped drinking alcohol in 2009. So I want people who are listening to this to understand that this journey is a long one, is a lifetime gig that you need a lot of patience with. You know?
And to be candid with you, I think the journey itself has very little to do with alcohol.
No, I agree. I think for me, and I wrote this today, for me, there's a big difference, class. There are a lot of people on January 1st now who are going to stop drinking alcohol, right? But to me, that is a decisive act, that whatever it is good. But to become someone who doesn't drink alcohol, for me, is completely different. And the alcohol is a springboard to saying, what the fuck have I been doing? Whatever. How have I been thinking? What have I been doing? How have I been acting? Now, how do I want to act? Who do I want to be? What do I want to experience? Like, and then the alcohol is just a springboard for you to like get off and do those things. But if you are drinking, it's going to be very, very, very difficult to, you know, put it all together, I think. Personally, you know?
Well, it's definitely makes it harder. And the thing is that most people, let's call them problem drinkers, people are drinking too much too often. Most people in that situation, they don't really get into personal development at all or personal discovery. And one of the reasons they don't get into personal discovery, and I know this from personal experience because I've been drinking, I've been using alcohol for self-medication for quite some time, and it has keeping me off doing some stuff that I wanted to do and that I didn't have the focus and the energy to do because I had been drinking the day before or for several days. And the thing is that I got into personal development and personal discovery. So I can tell you from personal experience that I didn't like what I found, you know, but that is just one step on the path. It's like the thing with your daughter at 2 o'clock at night. It's like, hey, you didn't like what you found. Okay. We can accept, okay, this is who I am and I got to live with this, or we can decide to do something about it. And there is so many different guides and guidances out there to do that, where like Strive is one forum, Dispense's work is another forum, the Mostic Experience is another forum, the use of plant medicine is a further one. And it's just what people choose is actually in the end up to them. What's important to me is to inspire as many people as possible to actually start thinking for themselves. And I don't really mind where we find that crack in the wall where we can put the thin edge of the wedge in and start widening in it. But I think that for people who recognize that they have a problem pattern with alcohol, that is a good place to start, because when you do, you need to fill the white space with something, as you call it, and why don't fill it with personal development? This kind of makes sense.
I mean, two things that come up for me there, Clyde, is this journey to create it, to create a new personality or understand what your core drive motive is, and to lean on the positives of that to start pruning away at your weaknesses. That is white space. That is filling the white space. That's the whole thing for me. The other thing that I thought about as terms of a drinker and versus a non-drinker is I loved it when I was reading about a blue and reading the fact that a blue like can't abide like, fake, inauthentic, like surface level conversations, right? So I go into Starbucks and Cara there and the barista, she says to me every morning, how's your day today? And it bugs me because I just know she's not interested in my day. She's just like passing the time away. And there are so many blues who drink alcohol because they think that there's something wrong with them because they can't quote unquote get into the conversation while they're out. Well, really, it's a strength that they can't get into those conversations because it shows that they need a deeper connection and a deeper meaning, and they're a deeper, more beautiful person, and they're more authentic and more with like at the core of who they are. And that kind of thinking about how a blue operates reminded me a little bit of the difference between someone who's drinking and someone who isn't when it comes to personal development. That the person who's drinking, they're living in this really fake, inauthentic world, and they don't even know they're there. It's like they are stuck in the matrix, right? Where the person who has stopped drinking is driving around in the Nebuchadnezzar down these shitty little tunnels, trying to figure out, like, this is core life. How do we save the world? Like, type of thing. That really was a profound moment for me reading about the blues this morning. I just wanted to.
Yeah, and the thing is also in that color, I mean, it's basically contrary to how the society has developed. I mean, if you're a blue and you're all about the deep, close relationship to people, how does that work out in the world of social media? And I don't know... How is it in the UK nowadays? But I mean, in Sweden or in the States or in South Africa or in Cyprus, actually not that much on Cyprus because there people actually talk to each other because they are not in a hurry all the time, but westernized societies. And it's like, I remember when I was in South Africa for the first time and everybody asked, how is it? And you were supposed to answer, fine.
Yeah.
And I drew people crazy because I told them that fine, that is the most dangerous four-letter word in the English language, because what it means translated is that it's pretty shitty, but not shitty enough to do something about it.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. If you walk on the streets in the States somewhere and you meet somebody and they're, hey, how are you? How is it going? And you're like, well, and... they are over there.
Yeah, they come.
So you basically, if you're a blue in that situation, you get kicked in your face and your core value all the time.
Yeah.
And then you develop the sick personality traits of a blue, which means you get judgmental, you get worry prone, you start, you know, and you start really thinking the worst of people. And a red, they just get a, you know, they power through it. They don't feel well doing it, but they power through it. Yellows, we laugh it off. And we just go do something else. We get obnoxious and we just consider, I mean, I remember the day back in the days where a long-term commitment for me, that was 5 minutes,
right.
You know? Yellows, we believe in the better offer theory. Like, okay, I'm committed to this until something better shows up. And there, I mean, I've been working with this for 5.5 years. Mm-hmm. And the benefit I've had for myself personally and in my relationships professionally and personal, it can't be overstated. It's like I could tell so many stories about it. You would get bored and we would spend the whole day here, but we're going to talk more. So basically what I was thinking here, because I mean, I obviously like what you're doing. We wouldn't have the conversation. And I'd like to contribute in some way. So what I was thinking is to do a 1-hour presentation about what the color code is all about, and to start with the people who are your moderators. I don't know how many people that are.
Six right now, although we've got a couple that we might be adding, but there's six at the moment.
Well, okay. So the thing is that what I cannot, I cannot provide them all with a free full assessment. Mm-hmm. But what I can do is I can give you a link where they get $10 off. So instead of the $40, it's $30.
Okay.
And I actually have, I want to be totally upfront here with you. I have a $10 kickback on that from the color code company. Uh-huh. So I'm obviously not doing it for the $10, but I want you to know that it's an affiliate link there. So it's fair play. But what I can do is to throw in the about one hour presentation for everybody for free. Mm-hmm. And if it's only six person, it's not a problem to have a couple of questions afterwards as well, question and answer. Mm-hmm. And if people like what it's about and they feel that they benefit from it, then it's something that we can do on a monthly or bi-monthly basis for people in the community. Because I think that, I think you will agree with me that reading through the assessment or the analysis of the assessment, it gives us a couple of like brilliant flashes of the obvious, like, oh my God, that's why I always do that and that and that and that, and that, you know? And I think it makes it easier for people.
First of all, thank you for that. That's really, I'm really grateful that you're offering that, Clice, and we'll definitely take you up on that and get that rolling. Just some questions that come up while I was reading through the stuff. The one that I couldn't wrap my head around was the core driving motive, the DCM. I'm probably saying the words wrong, but DCM. Because it said, this isn't hereditary, it's not environmental, it is who you are.
Yeah.
And the first question that come up for me is, how do we know that? Like, what does that mean? I couldn't wrap my head around. I kept thinking to myself, well, hang on, I put so much stock into who I am, being because I was raised in Ogmore Vale and surrounded by that society, that societal structure and those people. But if I was born in a convent, would I really, really, really be a red, you know? So I couldn't, it's something that I need to be at peace with or like to wrap my head around so I can explain to another red who's probably going to ask me the same question. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's interesting that you asked the question, just that particular question first, because I had that same thought when I was looking at this for the first time. And what basically solved it for me very, very quickly is that I have a godson and he's a twin. And from the start, I mean, they've been raised in the same family by the same parents in the same environment and you know, everything around the, like the nurture part has been the same and they've been totally different from the start. So it was something there from the beginning. And basically one thing that, one way that Taylor Hartman, the founder of the Color Code, explains it is that every mother who has given birth to more than one child know that they are not the same in the womb.
I guess this leads into the theory, which I actually believe, is that who we are, again, that's environmental. I'm just kind of brainstorming here, but I was reading recently about how who we eventually become is, even when we're like the sperm and the egg yet to meet type of thing, what is happening around us and what we're experiencing is going to be a big predictor of who we're eventually going to become. So, when Zia was in Liza's womb, we would watch Game of Thrones, but Liza would make sure she put headphones on her belly playing classical music because she didn't want Zia in the womb to, or if we were to argue, disagree, Zia, Liza would be like, I don't want to do this while I'm carrying my child type of thing. So I guess, I can see that. And that I could focus on Zia now as a two-year-old as well about how she is behaving. And that's not coming from anywhere learned, because it's just coming from her, because she's not capable of understanding and grasping what we're trying to teach her yet. It's just, it is who she is. So,
yeah.
All right, that helps me a little bit.
You need to remember that this is the innate personality we are born with. That's the driving core motive, the DCM. And then we're talking about character, and that's what's basically the layers that's been put onto us, you know? And there is in one of his lectures, and I love this part, Dr. Hartman talks about, if you're a red spouse who's married to a blue spouse, and you get a yellow child, you know that God is having humor and having a laugh right now.
You're right.
So I was that yellow child, born to a toxic red and a sick blue.
Right.
And I can tell you, it wasn't all fun. Mm. And there was a lot of character, there was a lot of traits that developed in me that was necessary for me to survive in my collar when I was a kid. But that hasn't always been helpful in adulthood. And this has been, this whole education and training I've got through the collar code system has been a great help for me, because it's so much easier to forgive ourselves when we know why we behaved a certain way, when we get a larger understanding for it.
Yeah, I'm putting out daily podcasts now. So basically, yeah, every time I have a thought about something, I'm leaving Stripe. I'm leaving Starbucks because I'm working all day. I leave Starbucks and I'm recording a podcast. And the other day I was thinking about an argument I had with Liza, where Liza was complaining about the way I was behaving as a father when it came to raising Zia. And she said somewhere along the lines, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, we want to raise her differently. And I realized in that moment that I was wrong. We both want to raise her along the same core values, right? Difference being, because of Liza's color, I think, she's more able to kind of toe that party line to be really consistent. Whereas I lack consistency because I want to squeeze all Zia's training into A to B in the most efficient manner as possible, which means I'm not going to be as compassionate or as empathetic with her, as sympathetic as Liza is. And then that shows Liza then that, I don't really have the same value. I do, and my GPS is programmed so we both get the same girl at the end, if you like, at the end of this journey. But I keep slipping up because I have some weaknesses here that need to work on, which is completely different, isn't it, Christ, to not having a GPS set, because you don't even know you fucking have one, and you're not even thinking about how you're going to raise your kid, because your head's somewhere else, and you know, your kid will just be who your kid is, like, you know. So I think that's like super important, like an important thought.
Well, and the thing is that first of all, and I hope that this is a little assuring, is that You would not be able to recognize that compassion in Lisa if you didn't have it in yourself. You're not able, you're just unable to observe anything in anybody else if you don't have at least the seed of it inside yourself, which means you got it there and you got it already starting to developing it. The second thing I want to say is that, I mean, I read your comments and I read more comments than I comment on in the back office. And I can say that I definitely see compassion there, lots of it.
For that feedback.
And I just think a little bit here, and this is, we don't know each other, and I don't want to overanalyze anything, but it's just that, you know, raising your daughter, that comes a little closer to home than commenting on somebody's progress during the taster. So your core color, your focus on power, I mean, you really want this to be the fastest way from point A to point B, because it's her, it's your daughter. You want this to work out for her in the fastest way possible. So I think it's beautiful. I think it's totally understandable. I think it's beautiful. And you being so aware of it is just going to develop that compassion part faster.
Well, the other thing to just say, and I think it's really important to talk about this right now, is that need and desire that's innate within me to get someone from point A to point B as quickly as possible. So get Zia from being his two-year-old product that hasn't even begun yet to this finished, beautiful product as quickly as possible, is exactly the same when someone comes to Strive Truth about alcohol, taster, or intensive, and they want to become someone who doesn't drink alcohol. Of course, my mindset is, how can I fucking get them there as quickly as possible and as efficiently as possible? So sometimes that means when someone is really, really desperate for some empathy and really, really desperate for some compassion, I come bulldozing in there and I'm like, well, haven't you figured out yet that there's no value in alcohol? And the compassion that you now see in me and the taster is the byproduct of me upsetting and driving away a lot of people from Strive because of my red in me.
We all have our learning process, and it's like, you know, I have one of my things is that, or one of the things of a yellow is that if we feel pressure, we go fishing.
Right.
For real. It's like, hey, I'm here today, I'm gone to Maui. It's no question about it, fuck you. So for me, it's always nice to see a couple of the comments that are, and I know that, okay, he's pressuring me, and I can feel my innate reaction pattern start to work, but I know myself enough and I'm honest enough with myself to just break that pattern and say, no, this is not the part of my personality that I want to embrace. Let's just analyze this. Does he have a point? How big is the point he's having here? Is there something in there that I want to embrace, or first of all, accept, embrace, assimilate, apply in my life? It's just, you know, it's all about, we have a saying that's R2A2. It's recognize, relate, assimilate, and apply. So if you see something, oh, I recognize this, I can relate to it, I can assimilate it, I can apply it in my life. That's the R2A2, it's just an acronym. And it really helps. But if somebody gets in there in the more, you know, the more raw personality, which is a reason I would think that when somebody joins Strive, they should just get the link to the free test, the free assessment that just gives them the primary color, because that already will teach you and the moderator a little bit about, oh, how can I approach this person in a way that makes them feel understood and feel embraced and included?
Yeah, that is one of the things I was going to ask you is, a while ago, I did this month of facing my fears, and and during this day, my daughter's music teacher, a beautiful woman called Jude, approached me and Liza and asked us for coffee, and then, you know, said she wanted us to be in her life, but then dropped the bombshell that, you know, that Jesus was the most important person in her life, which to me is, I'm going to run away when someone says that to me. So because I was fearful of it, I had to do it. So I joined a group and got to know her and all that kind of stuff. And through that group, I met this guy who was like a business consultant. And he just met with me for coffee. And he said, what's your big business problem at the moment? I said, well, I want to create this movement for a million people who don't drink alcohol, but I can't seem to attract people to come to Strive to even see what I've got on offer. And I know what I've got on offer works. So he said to me, the next person who signs up, let me know how you interact with them. So I did. And then he taught me how to react in a completely different way. He basically said to me, this person who's just arrived, Lee, has been listening or reading these comments for a whole year before they've even built up enough courage to post, hi, my name is Fred. And then you've just banged straight in there, kind of like with a, oh, do this, 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 and this, or why, where's your problem with this, that, that, and the other? When you really should be acknowledging and understanding that it's such a terrifying moment for them to be there, right? So that was an important mindset for me. Now, if you take that even further, and now you know more about how they operate because they're a red or a blue or a white or yellow, becomes exceptionally important. So, you know, what I was thinking when I was reading through the material you sent me was, quite, it was evident to me straight away that the moderators would need to understand this, right? I need to understand who they're communicating with. But the other thing is imagine if you do have a movement of a million people, Clyde, the peer group involvement has to be exceptionally high. It cannot be moderators. So then that got me thinking, you know, is this something, is our color something that is mandatory that we have it on all our personality profiles so everybody knows who they're interacting with? And we make it part of our philosophy that it's really important that we understand who our brothers and sisters are and what their color code is when we go to interact with them. Like, so we wear it with a badge of honor. Yeah, I'm a white. Yeah, I'm a yellow. Yeah, I'm a blue. Yeah, I'm a red. But people can understand that and they can interact with it. So we don't make it exclusive. We make color coding inclusive of what we're doing.
Yeah, and I think you're totally on the right track here. And actually, this is what we do in the Master Keys when we let people get the scholarship to go through the course. They have to do the color code assessment. So they get their primary color, they get their test results, but I, as their guide, I know how to communicate with them. Because if I try to communicate with you about, you know, it's so important that people feel included, you know, and it's more important that they feel included than they get the material, you know, you already looked away, I lost you. So if I start communicating with you as if you were a blue, oh, this is Diana, by the way, she's a white.
Hey, Diana.
I call her code my cats. So I think that's very important. And I also think that the moderators are definitely need a little bit more training, go through the at least we do a presentation with them, and in the future we might even do a workshop. I just have to figure out how to do a workshop online with people who are in different parts of the world. Normally we get them in a room together, which makes it, the interaction really easy. But there are some exercises that we can do online. It's just there are some exercises that are a little bit more, you know, we usually use some exercises to like go and stand up, walk around and try to find out, talk to somebody, try to find out their color.
Right.
And that we need to do just in theory with people, because I would love people just go out and practice this on their family and their friends and you know. Yeah. Because everybody deserves to be met the way they need to be met. So one of the things that people tell me all the time is like, Klaus, I don't know what you're doing, but I've been seeing all these people and they were never even able to persuade me to stretch every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And you're giving me all this stuff to do and I'm doing it. How do you do that? And I'm like, yeah, well, you understand why you should do it, right? And the reason they understand why they should do it is I talk in their collar. I talk to them in the way that they understand what I mean.
Yeah, I think it's super important. Super important. Like for me, when I reply to somebody who's posting something really personal on Strive, I have to take my time and I have to structure it like the way I do it, right? I have my own little blueprint, which I will add color coding to it. And then there are people like Eileen, who's not there anymore, like Laurie, who are just absolute naturals at it. Like there is no blueprint. Yeah. They just obviously recognize this color within everybody and they know how to do that. But not everybody is like that. So I think it is super important to recognize that when people come to Strive, they are at their most vulnerable, right? So we really need to be respecting that. And I think this is a wonderful thing that we can incorporate into.
And also, sorry for interrupting you, but when people get into Strive, you got these introduction videos and stuff like that. Let's make a video about the color code, what it does and why we do it, so that people understand from scratch that, hey, I take this assessment so that they can service me better.
Yeah.
And that is like, okay, this is how much this guy Lee Davey care about me. He even fretted out this color code thing and lets me do the test so he can serve me better in his community.
Yeah.
It's like it gives you, it's basically it makes you look good. But it also shows some of the compassion that I know is in you. You know what I mean? It's just, it's hurting to come out.
it is. It's this whole goal is to get somebody who's drinking alcohol to leave this world with a big smile on their face because they know they gave it the best shot they could to achieve whatever their purpose or meaning or whatever words you want to call it, they did. That is the goal of Strive, right?
Yeah.
It is the absolute utmost goal. So my success or failure at that is super important. This is, and I've had to do a lot of work around accepting that being a world-class marketer or being a world-class brand expert or all these things, being a world-class businessman, being great at doing a startup, you need to have those things in order to be able to service people. I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's not a, you know what I mean? It's not a bad
thing.
And I'm kind of over that now. Like now I'm over it, but it used to be a really difficult one.
Well, the thing is that the only legit way in this world and the only sustainable way in this world to make it to success and money and fame and whatever is to provide real value and service to our fellow human beings. It's the only sustainable way. And it's the only way that lets us sleep good at night and all that kind of stuff. I mean, all these hustling and stuff that's going on in the world, that does not lead to happiness. It might lead to a lot of money, but it does not lead to happiness. And we know that for a fact. I mean, you can just be the observer. Look at all the people who get like, you know, rich in some illegit way or they too fast to look at the rate of drug abuse and alcohol abuse and people who got rich quick through some, you know, actor career or soccer career or whatever, somebody is a big guy in the NHL and he makes a lot of money and then suddenly blows his knee out and he can't play anymore. What happens to this guy? I mean, unfortunately, he's probably going to be either in rehab, in and out of rehab, or dead a few years later. Why? Because people can't handle it. There was no real service behind it.
Right, we're going to have to wrap this up because my dear wife is going to come and pick me up and take me to a farmer's market for dinner soon.
Beautiful.
I guess what I need is just a little note off you, Bryce, just to help me understand if we incorporate this as one of the foundational pieces of our philosophy. So tomorrow someone joins Strive, the £5 a month member. Not so much how do we incorporate it in terms of training videos and an introduction to it, but how much is it going to cost in terms of finances for that to happen, for everybody to sign up? So each person who signs up and they do this assessment, how much is that cost, and how much does it cost to train the moderators? Like, how far does this go in terms of training? How deep does it go and what the costs are? If you could send that to me, then I can start kind of figuring out how to find the money to make it happen, you know?
Yeah, and I can tell you, I like the idea. And I can tell you that, I don't know how much, have you read anything by Ralph Waldo Emerson?
Little bits, but nothing in great content, yeah.
He has a little essay. It's about 24 pages. I can send it to you if you like.
Yes, please.
It's on compensation. Uh-huh. And when I first read that thing, I didn't understand it. I read it like four or five times before I even got the language into my head. I was actually there with a dictionary. It's like 1800s, very complicated philosophical English.
Right.
The guy is a genius. He's an absolute genius. And what he ended up with is me living by that principle. So I think that you will be surprised how affordable it's going to be. And I'm also going to do one more thing. I'm going to talk to the guys over at the Color Code, and I'm going to make sure that we have an exclusive link for you guys.
Oh, that'd be great.
So that it's like, it might be colico.com/Klaus Wallenberg/strive, something like that. I don't know if they can do it without my name in there. If they can, I don't need a credit for it. But, and the thing is that when people just do the assessment to get their primary color, that's free.
Right.
That's free for everybody. So if people want to upgrade and get the full analysis of their assessment, they're going to get the code for $10 off. So it's going to be $29.95.
Okay.
And out of that, Color Code is going to pay me $10.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to bet on that being more people than not.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, I'm going to invest my time for free because I want this to spread. That's one thing.
Yeah.
And if I talk to your moderators and they think this is a really valuable thing, I can guarantee that somebody's got a sister whose boyfriend is the CEO or head of human relations somewhere.
Yeah.
And after doing this a few times, because this is how the universe works, this is going to land me a contract with a company that's international, has like 10,000 people that needs training.
Yeah.
That's how I look at the world.
Yeah, you just got me thinking. I'm actually due to put a call into my old contacts in the rail industry to see if we can do some business and offer up the taster and incentive to people struggling in the rail industry. So I could...
Good one.
I could ask them if they, because they used to use Myers-Briggs, so I could put this forward to their HR section as well about the color and stuff. So
would be awesome.
If I don't get back to you on that, drop me a reminder and then make sure I've done them. All right, I got to shoot.
Yeah, I'll shoot you an email, and I just wait to get the link from the color code people. So it's probably not going to happen until after Christmas, maybe on the 27th, 28th, something.
Okay.
And we take it from there.
Yeah. All right. Brilliant. Thanks a lot for your time, Clive.
Hey, peace be the journey, man. Take care. Nice talking to you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too.
Hey.
I never say Merry Christmas because I don't really give a shit about it.
Me neither. Me neither. I'm going to wait. Tomorrow's Christmas Eve. I'm going to wake up tomorrow. I'm going to do my reading, my sit, and my ayahuasca, and that's it.
Same as me. You take care of yourself.
Yeah. Hey. Ta-da. Be good.
If the truth about alcohol philosophy jives with you and you want to become someone that doesn't drink alcohol, then there are several options available to you, okay? According to the research carried out by Janice and James Prochaska, there are 6 stages of change when it comes to defeating an addiction. And let me assure you, that is your problem. It is an addiction, right? Now, these 6 stages of change are as follows. 1, pre-contemplation. 2, contemplation. 3, preparation. 4, action. 5, maintenance. And 6, termination. And translated into truth about alcohol philosophy, these categories become this, right? 1, the death effect. 2, visualization. 3, incubation. 4, ready, steady, go. 5, transformation. And 6, service. And that just makes a nice little acronym, STRIVE. Ha! That's why I did that, right? So these 6 stages of the truth about alcohol are not fixed in stone, right? They're fluid, and you'll move between these stages depending on a variety of different factors. But understanding where you are on this spectrum is really critical, okay? Now, 1, the first category you're going to be in, which the Prochaska's called pre-contemplation and I'm calling the death effect, that's when you really are struck by the zombification of societal conditioning. You have no idea that alcohol is a problem, that alcoholism exists. You just think that alcohol is fucking brilliant and that is the end of, right? And that will not be affecting you right now because you're here listening to this. But that is that first level, that first category, the death effect. At the second level, contemplation, as the Prochaska's call it, or for me, visualization, this is where you start to think and question the role that alcohol has in your life, right? And as you're thinking about this and you're pondering and you're kind of visualizing kind of like, you know, how alcohol is having a negative effect in your life and what it could possibly be like if it's not in your life anymore, you may have joined the Alcohol Addiction Podcast and listened to this. You may have headed over to thetruthaboutalcohol.co.uk and joined our email list. You might be reading our blog post. You might have picked up a few books and started reading on those. At the third stage is called preparation, right? Or what we call incubation. And this is where you might go a little bit further. And you're now starting not only to kind of listen to podcasts and read some books, but you're actually preparing to change, right? The idea that you could potentially be someone that doesn't drink alcohol is starting to incubate. And you could, at this stage, have joined a community forum like Strive, or you might have joined Nis Naked Minds forum or Hip Sobriety's Facebook group or something. But you're starting to prepare for change. The fourth category is action, or what we call ready, steady, go. And this is where you really are now starting to take some real solid action. And if you're ready to take action, then you should take the Truth About Alcohol Taster. And the Truth About Alcohol Taster is a 27-day program. You can join the program whenever you like. You just go to thetruthaboutalcohol.co.uk and you can find the links there to join up. Or you can email me at thetruthaboutalcohol@gmail.com and I'll sort you out. You join basically a group and you can just work on being someone who doesn't drink alcohol for 27 days to give it a little bit of a feel. We'll introduce you to the Truth About Alcohol philosophy, our 3 modules of truth, awareness, and freedom. We'll learn to help you see the truth about alcohol, why you drink, why it's so difficult to stop, raise awareness of that truth internally so you can start to change some of those neurological pathways, those thought process and belief systems around alcohol. And then freedom, how do you assert yourself back into a society of people that don't drink alcohol? You do the homework on Strive, you get an assignment every day from myself, and one of the Truth About Alcohol ambassadors will lead you along the way. So that's kind of the action stage. The fifth stage is called maintenance, or what we call transformation. This is where the work really takes off, right? Now, it's really important to understand that moving between the incubation phase and the ready, steady, go phase, you know, so whilst you're kind of like preparing to take action, that could take anywhere up to 6 months. And once you've started to take action, The actual maintenance phase, which is what we call transformation, the stage where you are really working on becoming someone that doesn't drink alcohol permanently, that phase can take up to 5 years, right? It can take that long. It certainly takes six months plus for you to really nail it or give yourself a good shot at this. And for that reason, we've created the intensive. The Trooper Alcohol Intensive, it lasts, it's a year, an annual subscription where we get really deep into the truth about alcohol, raising awareness of that truth and working out how to be free of it. And we're up to like 70 plus coaching videos. You work with all the Truth About Alcohol ambassadors and myself. It's a great, great process, okay? One of the big mistakes people make is they'll take the taster, so they start to take action, and then once they finish the taster, they don't continue into the maintenance phase, and that can lead them fall back into some of those earlier categories. So it's really important to do the intensive and get through that transformation phase. And then finally, six, termination, as the Prochaskas call it, or I like to call it service. This is where it doesn't matter what happens now, you're never going to drink alcohol. It doesn't matter, you're never triggered, nothing ever happens, you're just fucking done with it, right? And that's where I am right now. And this is where we at the Truth About Alcohol can offer you some roles to, you know, give back to the community, give back to the world, and help me create this movement of a million people that don't drink alcohol. And that is to extend yourself into the roles of either a Strive ambassador, where you lead in the Strive movement and really are a rock helping new people come to Strive, or you can become a Truth About Alcohol ambassador, where we pay you to take control of the taster groups and the intensive groups and really work with people who are ready to take the action phase. So if you are ready right now, okay, to start to think about moving up into the next stage, so, you know, you're in contemplation phase now and you're thinking about going to preparation, join Strive, right? It's £5 a month. It'll be the best £5 you've ever spent. If you're ready to take action, if you're ready to do something about this, then join the taster. Okay, that's £99, right? Join the taster. And then if you are just ready to just fucking be someone that doesn't drink alcohol and that is like something you want to do permanently, then join the intensive. That is £1,000. We've got payment plans available. Do not let money be the reason why you do not take this, because we can always sort something out or find you some help, all right? So head over to thetruthaboutalcohol.co.uk to join those experiences, or give me an email at truthaboutalcohol@gmail.com. Remember this, folks, okay? You drink alone, but you do not have to stop drinking alone. That's why we're here for you. So reach out and help. Take care of yourself.